Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Israel might be facing a shortage of missiles, but Hamas is facing a shortage of leaders. We'll look at the hardening of hearts in the leaders of countries, the leaders of news organizations, and in the leader of the Catholic Church. Will someone get Pope Francis a Bible so he can even see and read about the signs of the times? Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, October 18th, 2024. Listen or watch any episode. Again, you can share them with anyone you'd like. You can read the articles we talk about, and you can always ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section of thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who just found out that a stress ball is not for throwing at people who stress you out, and that is Pastor Mark, who recently walked into a bank, pointed a long, thin piece of wood at the ceiling, and shouted, "This is a stick-up!" And the bank didn't think it was very funny either when you did that.
They really didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this can be funny. That wasn't funny, but we can make a joke about my new glasses.
Oh, no.
No, we got to address it. Look, I've got more than one pair, so don't worry.
Okay.
But my new glasses, you're not used to seeing round.
Yes.
So those that are watching this, there's some round. And you kind of said,
I mentioned that you look like the Professor Owl from the Charms Blow Pop commercials.
Yes. I thought it was the Tootsie Pop.
There are Tootsie Pop. Maybe it's a Tootsie Pop.
And there's two things. Remember, if you can't be smart, you can at least try to look smart. And owls come with that reputation. And secondly, what we're trying to find out, if again, for those who didn't see the Tootsie Pop commercial, because it was a long time ago, he would lick it and get like three licks in, then bite it, and they'd say, "How many licks does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Roll? And they didn't know because he never could make it. The point was, it tastes so good, you'll never get there. So what we're going to try to answer for you today is, how many verses does it take to get to the center of the Bible as we work through...
A one.
Okay, that's dealt with.
A two.
That's
yes.
dealt with.
Right.
Now
that's
we can move
with.
On
now
and
we
just
can
have
move
a
on.
Blast, which is yes. I'm already having fun. It's so good to be back. I feel like life is halfway normal again.
Yes. Reunited, and it feels so good.
It's like, again, we've been off and on for so long, not just on the radio, but then we did some live, though. We were able to keep up some.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
But I think a couple times we tried, though, and it didn't work, right? We did some stuff from overseas.
Remember.
I think maybe y'all didn't hear us very much. I thought we were keeping up. We did a couple of shows while I was overseas. But I think they didn't work for some reason. So,
but now you've got all the tours and vacations out of your system. You're ready to get back in the saddle.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And it wasn't planned. It just kind of happened this way because of that sudden trip that we took there on the journeys of Paul.
Sometimes life happens.
Great. It was great. It was worth doing. It was wonderful.
Perfect. Okay. Now, before we get into our articles, you've got a few things that you want to discuss.
Yes, I really do. I want to hit a couple things, guys, because and some of these you're going to hear off and on over the next few weeks. One is, again, election season. I want to bring this up. And for those of you that are thinking, oh, come on now, let's not get political. Look, I'm going to keep this spiritual. Forget the word politics. I'm going to keep this spiritual. I think where we get bogged down is sometimes we look at elections and people running as this party against that party, and everybody's like, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, look, what we're facing is a spiritual situation before God in every election, but especially in this one. I believe we as Christians have a responsibility, no matter how you feel about the church and politics, I believe we have a responsibility to vote. And there's a lot of verses I could use. One I'm going to throw out there, and that is simply this: to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And if we know to do good by trying to get somebody in office that's going to be more God for the things we know that God wants, that's a good thing. You say, well, but they're not godly. Nobody's godly. No, the candidates oftentimes are not godly. Remember, we're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for people. What we are to do is we are to try to make an influence in our nation and in our community to better it, to make it more like God. If we can't get completely like God, to make it more like God. So we need to be voting. I think it's a Christian responsibility. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And I really believe, Greg, you know, one day we're going to stand before God and give account for how involved we, you know, what we did and where we could have made a difference.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Mark, with Samson, he wasn't godly. He was the leader of Israel, but he wasn't godly, was he?
Yeah, but, great point.
But wasn't he the leader that Israel needed at that time?
He really was. That's a great point, Greg. God put a man in that was very ungodly, but he had the strength that was needed and the qualities to defeat the Philistines. And I think when we look at the elections, we have to say, all right, we're not voting for Jesus. There may be a Samson that's running. And what was Samson? He was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He was this. He was that. And I'm not accusing anybody of running right now of being that. I'm simply saying, with Samson, that was the case. And yet God said, I've chosen this man, and I want the nation to be behind him. Because God was working through Samson to do what he wanted to do. So what we've got to do is say, God, how do you want us to be involved, and where do you want us to get involved in this? And I want to say this too. Look, they didn't have elections back in biblical days like we do today. But if you look at what the prophets said when they went and confronted the people and the kings, they would be considered in their day political had there been parties running. Because they said, this is wrong, that's right. This is wrong, that's right. Don't do this, do that. They were taking positions on right and wrong, and it would have been seen as political had there been something you could be political about. Now, you couldn't, because they had kings. They made the decision. It was done. So, again, this is not new, but I want to just say this without getting into this about telling people what party to vote for. Here's all I want to say, and I'm going to move on. We'll hit it again. But I want to say this. We have to vote biblically. Look at the Bible and say, God, what is it that you want us to do? And I want to say this. There are two people running right now that the positions are very, very clear before God and in God's word. You've got one particular person that's running that says babies should be killed all the way up until 9 or 10 months. Up until birth, it's okay to kill them. God says that is murder. You're not to do that. You have another candidate who's saying, no, that's not right. You cannot do that. Now, the other candidate is even kind of saying that maybe some abortion is okay. I totally disagree with that. But at least what they're saying is, no, that's a few weeks in. Then you got to stop, which is wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's wrong either way. But I'm saying you've got a very clear position here where one is saying you can take a fully developed baby and kill it, and that's okay. And another one's saying, no, you can't. That's a very clear biblical mandate. God's going to hold us accountable for how we vote on that. You know, you've got situations where one is trying to give more freedoms. Well, again, I could go into details about it. I'm saying, well, here's my point. Look at the candidates, find out where they stand, what they stand on, and then say which is more God's heart and closer to the Bible, which is working with the enemy, which is working against the enemy. And I'm talking about the demonic realm. And if you do that, it's not politics, it is spiritual. So settle the issue of you're not voting for Jesus. Decide which one is going to lead the nation in a better place with God, and then say, all right, Lord, we're going to do our best to try to help that take place. I think you need to be involved. I think you need to get up there and vote. And I think, look, from what I'm seeing, I don't think many people need much encouragement to vote, because already they're blowing the doors off all over the nation, they say, with early voting. It's already blowing the doors off of the 2020 election and everything else. But also, you know, again, let me say this. One of the lowest voting blocks in America is the ones that call themselves evangelicals. And again, I think maybe sometimes the reason is sometimes we're just lazy. Sometimes we think, well, we're not supposed to be political. I'm not talking about going out and marching in the streets with signs about bill number this and bill number that, or I'm not even saying that. I'm simply saying, when you have the opportunity to make influence in righteousness, our nation heading toward righteousness or our nation heading toward unrighteousness, we have a responsibility before God. And God's going to sort out how accountable everyone's going to be. I can't speak for God on that, and I'm not going to pass judgment on that. I'm simply saying that when I look at the two that are running, and I see one side that's very opposed to God in many areas based on the Bible, and one side that is for God in many areas on the Bible, I know where I need to go and take responsibility to encourage the one that's for God. Do either of them know the Lord? It doesn't. Doesn't appear so. Honestly, I know I'll get people mad at me about that. You know, yes, President Trump does. We can prove it. Well, you know, look, I'll let you deal with that. But I look at the fruit, and I don't know that I see fruit. That's in God's hands. God will make that call. I'm just simply saying it's not about that. It's about, is anybody standing opposed to the Word of God? And I want to say there's one side that on multiple issues, they are directly against God's Word. For example, they say they want to kill babies up until they're born. They say that a man can be a woman can be a man. The Bible forbids that. You can go down the list of this one side. The other side is saying, no, a man's a man, a woman's a woman, like God's Word says. No, you can't kill babies. No, you can't do this. So, again, enough said. You know, even just making statements, Greg, and even making the point right now that this is biblical, because it is. There's probably some listening that are upset saying, you're doing this. No, this is not political. This is biblical. It is Bible. I'm speaking Bible, what the Bible says, and God has given us the opportunity to influence people running to stand on what the Bible says.
I'll give you a quick example. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, talking about the abomination of desolation,
yes,
and when it happens, you flee, you run, you don't grab and you get anything. And then he interjects at the end of that, and pray, by the way, that your flight is not in winter or you're not nursing or pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay, why would Jesus encourage prayer if prayer would not have an influence
Absolutely.
In the timing? Not
Absolutely.
not that you're going to get rid of that prophetic event that's
yeah.
going to happen,
yeah.
but you can influence the timing. We too can influence who our leaders are. We've been given that privilege in this country.
Yeah, and also we need to speak up if we see something that's not right. Let me say this. Greg, imagine this. After the rapture takes place and the Antichrist comes into power, if somebody stands up and opposes him in that position, you think the people that are saved at that time are going to start screaming, don't be political, don't be political, don't be political. You know what they're going to be saying? Thank you for saying something. You're courageous. We're all going to die. This man, you've got to expose this man. This man is wicked. There's a time when you simply expose wickedness, and if it's done through the means of what we want to call politics, then so be it. But think about the Antichrist running for office. He's going to take over. So he's not going to really be running for office. But imagine when he just takes over and all these kingdoms are in place. There's going to be believers that are going to be getting political. I'll put that in quotes, saying this man is evil. That is, they need to be doing that. They need to be exposing him. They need to be saying, stay away from him. You're going to be condemned, because these, we're talking about eternal souls. But now get this. I use the word political for the argument. But at that point, when the Antichrist is there and they're going to be saying that, again, Elijah and probably Moses, they're in the two witnesses there in Jerusalem, they're going to be speaking out against the Antichrist. Let me ask you this. Are they being political? When they speak against the Antichrist and say to rebel against him, don't vote for him, remove him, get him out of there, are they being political, or will they be biblical in pointing out someone who is wicked that God is going to judge? I think there's a biblical aspect there, and I think we have to be biblical. So I wanted to make that point, and we'll probably talk about it more the closer we get. But I want to encourage everybody, you need to go vote.
Yes.
I think that's the right thing to do before God.
And the perfect timing of coming up to the general election is what's happening in our church over the next 21 days, and that is 21 days of prayer. Please talk about that.
Absolutely. We have a 21 days of prayer going on right now. Such a blessing going on with Rich and Tracy. They travel around. They've done this in other places. I think maybe I'm not sure if the first place they did it was Chino Hills with Pastor Jack and all that, but I know they've done this other places. We're doing it here. They're doing it now for us here in Knoxville. As a matter of fact, they are streaming it live to Chino Hills, and Chino Hills is involved with us in that with Pastor Jack Hibbs and other churches, I think even in addition to ours. And it's just this 21 days of prayer, three times a day, which, by the way, is when you look at Daniel and you look at David, they talk about praying three times a day. That was a cultural and spiritual thing that the Jews would do in that day. And so they're praying. We're praying all day long. The sanctuary is open for anyone to come and pray. But there's prayer at 9, 12, and I think 6 is the last one. I think it's a 6. Yeah, 6 o'clock. I was going to say 5, but it's 6. And the times are a little bit funny because, again, linking other churches. For example, when we do our 9 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock in Chino Hills. But they were telling us, Greg, that that first Monday morning that we had our 9 o'clock here prayer, there was 1,000 people in the sanctuary there at 6 a.m. at Chino Hills. 1,000 people praying with us in their sanctuary. Guys,
amazing.
Listen, we need to pray. And here's why. Here's why they're praying. What they know is, and what you need to know, prayer changes things. It makes a difference. It gets us in tune with God, and it's a thing that sets us free from bondage. It saves marriages. It does all kinds of amazing. I say it. God saves marriages. God does all these things through prayer because we ask Him, and He honors that. So why am I saying this? I'm not saying this to you to tell you that we're praying. I'm saying this. If you want to pray with us, those of you from Calvary Chapel that are listening, you need to be, this is amazing. I'm telling you, when I go in there and pray, it's wonderful. It just feels like you're walking in this fresh water that's kind of just flowing all around you, and you can feel the Spirit of God. It just flies by. The time just zips by. It's a sweet, powerful moment of prayer. It's been going on for almost a week now. Again, it's going to be going on for 21 days. And I wanted to mention it too, so that any in our community who want to come and pray, look, you don't have to be a part of Calvary Chapel to pray. You can just come to Calvary Chapel and pray. Some of the other Calvaries that are listening online around the country right now and other people, I know we have quite a few, you can tune in. We stream it. We're streaming it live. Just go to our website, go into the streaming time. Of course, do it from Eastern. It's Eastern time,
yeah.
9, 12, and 6. And you can join us in that time of prayer, and you can even watch it. So we encourage you to do that. Yeah. Be praying for things in your life. Be praying for America, the upcoming election, for your church. There's all kinds of great things going on, and expect great things because we have a great God. He's going to do it.
Yep. We are, that stream, by the way, is available on our church YouTube channel as well as at thewaymedia.net or yes. The Way Media app.
Great.
So now let's go from prayer to praise and worship.
Absolutely.
Some special praise and worship coming up in December.
Yes, I want our listeners to know about this. You're going to hear me say this more than once, and maybe each week I'll quickly mention it. We have Fernando Ortega is going to be here worshiping with us. And that last weekend, it's going to be the last weekend before Christmas. Christmas this year is actually on Wednesday. And so prior to that, though, we're going to have, again, Fernando Ortega is coming in the weekend before. The dates are the 20th. Let's see, December. I want to make sure I've got it right. I'm glancing at the calendar. December 21st and 22nd. December 21st and 22nd.
Saturday and Sunday,
we'll have Fernando Ortega at all four services. He's going to be here Saturday night doing a mini concert, and then we'll have a teaching, a Christmas teaching. Then all three services on Sunday, 9, 11, and 1 o'clock. Fernando will be here again leading worship and just leading us into a sweet time of praise and a concert for the Lord, so to speak. And then we'll be doing a teaching on Christmas as well. So it's a way that you can be involved and just enjoy Him. I want you to be aware of that because, again, when Fernando travels, a lot of times he travels and people travel long distances just to go to concerts that he's doing. I want to make sure that our community knows that Fernando's going to be here. They can be a part of it. And I want to encourage you, the fourth service, the last service, the 1 o'clock service on Sunday, that's the one I want to encourage you to come to. Here's why. The others are going to be packed. I guarantee you, Saturday night and the first two Sunday morning, they're going to be just packed out. We may turn people away. I don't know. But on that fourth service, that's the one, that's the new service that we've added. It's at 1 o'clock, which is not as popular a time, so to speak. If you come to the 1 o'clock service, you're probably going to have no problem getting in. And it's going to be, again, just a great way to kick off right before Christmas, the holidays and just enjoying the Lord and worshiping.
Yeah.
And again, I'm extremely excited. I love Fernando,
yeah.
But I want to make sure our listeners are aware of that. December 21st and 22nd, with Fernando Ortega here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville.
Wonderful. All right, let's get into our prophecy stories for episode 333. Our first article comes from All Israel News. This is according to a report. Israel is facing a serious shortage of interceptor missiles as it plans an Iran strike. What's going on here?
Well, it's fake news.
Okay.
And I wanted to get this out there. Again, this is news you'll see out there. All Israel News had this, other outlets. This is fake news. They have plenty of missiles. The military came out and said, we have no idea what the agenda is behind who's ever saying this. Maybe they're trying to say it to make the enemies feel emboldened. But he said, we have plenty for a long-term, large-scale, extended war on our defense systems. So why did I even want to include just that article and say this before we moved on? Because, again, I know there's going to be people out there sending me emails and sending me, because I get a lot of stuff from people going,
yes.
Did you hear this? Did you hear that? So just know they've got plenty of defensive weaponry as far as the interceptor missiles. The kind of things they need that we're not giving them are some of the bunker busters, some of these kind of specialty things, the THAAD, A cruise missile defense systems. They could use some extras, and that's where we get into our article here in just a moment, where the President Biden is threatening to withhold those. And by the way, we talked about the election. I got to say this real quick. You know, another reason, guys, if you want to look for voting for those that are one side for God and one side fighting against God, there's one side that's actively fighting against the nation of Israel right now, and one side that's actively standing with the nation of Israel. And God said in Genesis 12:3, those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. We've got to stand with the nation of Israel. And right now, the current administration is fighting against Israel and really getting more openly opposed to them. I think if it wasn't for the election, it would be even more so.
Yes.
And it'll go back to that if they win right afterwards. But the bottom line is, there's plenty of missiles there. If you hear that kind of information, you don't double check your sources. And because there's a lot of things going on. I get calls, Greg, and I get just this past week. There's stuff going on out there that people say that is just not true. You got a lot of people online. They throw a lot of information out there. They say a lot of false things about Israel. You need to know your sources, who your sources are, and you need to be able to back those sources up and footnote them, because there's a lot of weirdness. This is weirdness. All Israel News dropped the ball on this one. It is not accurate. It is incorrect.
Now, you talked about a story that is correct, and that is a bonus article that you added today, and that is the U.S. Threatening Israel with an arms embargo over Gaza Aid.
Yes, that goes right into what I just mentioned about looking at the two different people running for president. Do they stand with Israel or against? One side stands very openly with Israel and has proven it, even by putting our embassy back in Jerusalem. The other side stands very openly against Israel by withholding arms. And now, again, they're threatening to withhold arms. We see what has happened with allowing them to carry out these things. They're taking out all the bad guys of Israel, which we'll get to in a moment. But let me read some of this. United States has warned Israel that military aid could be restricted unless it takes steps to improve the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. That's, first of all, drives me bananas, because they have not only allowed for humanitarian aid, it's been just unbelievable amounts of humanitarian aid they've let in. And all that's been done is Hamas is hoarding it and torturing the people that try to get a hold of it. Anyway, it says that this is one of the more serious disputes between the two arch allies in this October 7th attack, that is Israel and America. The State Department, the White House, and the Pentagon confirmed that the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin sent a letter on the issue to Defense Minister Yoav Gallant and Minister of Strategic Affairs Ron Dermer. And so what they're saying is, look, you don't play by our rules. We're going to withhold some very strategic arms that you need. These are not the defensive things we talked about, but other arms that are needed. Some of them could be used defensively. The point is simply this. This is, again, Genesis 12:3. I fear for our nation. God will bless those who bless Israel. They'll curse those who curse Israel. I loved our prayer time that we just had, again, right before the broadcast. There was one of those prayer times in the sanctuary. And one of the issues that came up was, you know what? The reason America hasn't been judged, as someone was praying, is because there's so many of us within this nation standing for Israel. Listen, if it wasn't for the believers right now standing for Israel, so many people are screaming at the Christians, Greg, and they're attacking believers in America. You guys are the problem. If it wasn't for the believers standing with Israel, we would have been a dust speck a long time ago. Praise God for those who are standing for Israel in America, because now we're safe.
Not to go down a rabbit trail, Pastor Mark, but regarding this aid to Gaza, which has been ongoing now for almost a year, Why is it that the United Nations or the International Red Cross or some neutral third-party humanitarian organization has not been charged by the powers that be to distribute this aid? It just seems like we've dumped all of this stuff into the hands of the wolf that's guarding the hen house here.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. That's the whole point, Greg. They make this a big stink about, look, let this aid in, get the aid in there, do this kind of thing, and yet they just let it go through the border and turn it over to Hamas.
Right.
Literally, here's what's happening. And there are people all over the ground confirming this, not just Israelis, but international journalists are saying all they're doing is they're kidnapping, so to speak, all of these supplies.
Yes.
Taking them to warehouses. The people are still doing without, and Hamas is just selling it at exorbitant prices and just taking advantage of the people like they've done with everything else over the years. And so Israel knows that. Israel just goes, oh my goodness, guys, can't you see what's happening? But they have to go along with it because the international community goes, look how mean you are. You mean old nasties, as my grandmother used to say. You're not allowing the good stuff to get to the people or whatever. And you would think, yes, they'd put someone in there. But Greg, that just shows that we don't really care. If we really cared about the people, we would have the military there making sure it got to those. We don't care. All we want is to look good on the surface to the world and to say, you know what, we're helping those people when we're not helping them at all. It's very, very discouraging and frustrating.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from All Israel News, dated October 17th. Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar is now dead and killed by IDF soldiers in a Gaza firefight. But as we talked about this before the show, it was kind of like it was the Lord's guided arrow, not necessarily by Israel.
It really was amazing. Let me read some of this and give you some inside scoop here. Hamas top leader Yahya Sinwar, the architect of the October 7th invasion and massacre in southern Israel. He's the guy that put it all together. Now God has judged him. He was killed by IDF soldiers during a chance encounter in the town of Rafah. And notice it said chance encounter. It wasn't chance, but it was to Israel. In the southern Gaza Strip, the IDF informed Thursday evening. To them, they didn't even know he was there, Greg. Listen to what it says. This is where God gets involved. I love this stuff. Following initial reports and speculation in the early afternoon, Israel media announced that cabinet ministers were informed of Sinwar's confirmed death after DNA tests were conducted on his body. The first official statement affirming his death came from Foreign Minister Israel Katz in the form of a message sent to his colleagues around the world that were cited by Israel media. And I quote, "The arch murderer Yahya Sinwar, who is responsible for the massacres and atrocities of October 7th, was killed today by IDF soldiers. This is a great military and moral achievement for Israel and a victory for the entire free world against the evil axis, extreme Islam led by Iran," the message read. Now, there's so much in this. Let's take a moment. First of all, I want our listeners and watchers to take note that every single major enemy that it was involved in attacking Israel here recently, they've all been taken out. They're done. Israel's president taken. I'm sorry. Iran's president taken out. Hezbollah leader Nasrallah taken out. Now Gaza's leader, the Hamas leader rather, Yahya Sinwar taken out. And they've taken out a lot more. But the point is, God is systematically removing all the enemies of Israel, the leaders. And when new leaders get in, they take them out as well. This is supernatural. And you say, oh, it's not supernatural. It is. This last one, and the others, when it came to the president of Iran and the helicopter going down, people say they wonder if anybody was involved in that. We don't know. The one, though, with Nasrallah, we know that was Israeli. Another official that was killed there in Iran, remember, with a bomb that blew up in a room. They believe that was Mossad. And they have all these high-tech things they've done to find him. They didn't know where Yahya Sinwar was. It literally was a thing where they saw these terrorists, these five different terrorists, run into this house, and they'd been fighting against the soldiers. They killed four of them, and one of them they knew was still alive in there. So they sent in a drone after they shot a missile in there and blew the building up and injured everybody. They didn't know if they were dead. They sent a drone, and I watched the drone footage. You can see the drone go in, and it shows Sinwar alive, sitting there, looking at the drone, and the drone sees him, and they're like, whoa, there's this guy there, and he sits there for a minute, and he throws a stick at it or something, I guess he's already injured, but he's in this chair and can't get away, and then apparently a sniper took him out, they didn't know who it was, and took him out, and then they go in to find out who it is, and find out, sure enough, it's Yahya Sinwar that was killed, and so they didn't even know who it was they were killing. A lot of people said it was almost like a stray missile is what wounded him and took him out, and they finished the job. But it reminded me of Ahab and Jehoshaphat going to battle. We talked about before the show started. Ahab and Jehoshaphat linked up. Jehoshaphat was a godly king out of Judah. Ahab was an ungodly king up in Israel, the northern portion of Israel. And so they linked together, though, and they allied together. And Ahab said, Jehoshaphat, go to battle with me. Jehoshaphat should have never done it, but he did it. They go to battle together, and so they chase Jehoshaphat thinking he's Ahab because they want to kill the king of the northern kingdom rather than the southern. They just want to get him out of there. It says Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, so the Lord diverted the forces away from Jehoshaphat. He answered his cry. He was a godly king. And it says Ahab didn't even wear his kingly garments, so they didn't know it was the king. It says one of them from the army took an arrow and shot it a random arrow, and it pierced through the heart of Ahab and killed him. That was no random arrow. That was the judgment of God against Ahab for all his wickedness against the nation of Israel and the northern kingdom. It was a guided missile. And the same thing here with Sinwar. This was no random guys running to a house. They talk about reservists and some trainees are the ones that took him out. Yeah, maybe so. And it wasn't some big high Mossad undercover thing that was discovered, but it was God with a guided missile that went in there and took him out, and then, and again, took the leader, cut the head of the snake off it, if you want to say. Just amazing to watch God work. This is one of many miracles that God is doing, that God continues to do there in Israel. And now you've got all the major leaders of these major oppositions to Israel. Their leaders have been killed. Certainly other leaders will be there in place, but Israel is taking them out one by one. And I believe, Greg, you're going to see very soon them wrapping up the victory in Gaza, them wrapping up the victory with Hezbollah in the Northern Kingdom, and you're going to see them saying peace and safety on all their borders, and they're going to have it temporarily. And who knows, it may be the peace and safety statement that leads to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and again, all that where they think everything's fine, then boom, this happens. But, you know, it's interesting to watch God fighting for the children of Israel, and it's also exciting to realize they recognize these are miracles. They recognize it's God. We talked about it last time, all the missiles coming in, landing other places on the ground. So they know what's going on, and it's exciting to watch. But again, another major leader taken out. I would just say this. Those who bless Israel, God will bless. And those who curse Israel, God will curse. Everyone, be warned. God has spoken.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast, and we will become podcast episode number 333, available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts later today. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got two questions this week. Our first one comes from Denny, enjoying Signs of the Times in South Knoxville.
Yes.
Her question is, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with Jesus. However, it also says that in the rapture, those who have died in Christ will rise first. Please explain where those who die now are between now and the rapture.
Again, it's a great question, and the Bible is, I think, very clear on it, Denny. The Bible says in Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord is better. And so it shows us that when we die, we are with the Lord in his presence. Again, it's also a rebuke to those who believe in soul sleep, that is, that the soul sleeps until resurrection day. We know that's not true either, because we see the whole vision there in Luke 16, where they're talking Lazarus and the rich man. Abraham's very much alive. He's not sleeping at all. And so, again, there's lots of scriptures we could use to support that. But the bottom line is that when we die right now, we go to be with the Lord. We're in his presence, leading up to the rapture. And then when the rapture takes place, all the believers will be with the Lord. And then, of course, there'll be those that get saved after the rapture. And when they die in the great tribulation, they will come to be with us immediately in the kingdom as well.
Okay. Our next question is submitted on behalf of a friend of Corey. Corey's friend's name is Nick, and he was confused about the rapture. Corey provided him with the word pertaining to the rapture, having said that his concern was about the passages of Scripture, and he lists three of them there in the book of John that, Pastor Mark, you have, or actually five,
yes,
there in the book of John.
Yes.
The emphasis is on the last day, saying that it seems to be talking about the second coming. I shared with him about 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5. His question was about the last day, as mentioned with Lazarus, and how Martha understood that he would indeed rise in the last day, and that would be the second coming. I know that the rapture and the second coming are two different events. Your thoughts on this? Can you expand on the quote-unquote last day?
Yeah, and I think you kind of answered yourself without realizing it there, Nick, when you said that they'll rise in the last day. It's interesting. The word last day, I think, can be confusing, because a lot of people don't realize that last day in Scripture speaks about a time period. It doesn't speak about a specific day. For example, even if you were to try to say the argument of the second coming was the last day, well, that's not really the last day. When the second coming takes place, we have another 1,000 years, the Bible says, where the Lord will rule and reign here on the earth. And so you won't have the last day of this earth until 1,000 years after the second coming. So it doesn't resolve it by jumping to the second coming and saying that's the last day. No, he's talking about the last day. If you go back and read those in context, you'll see he's referring to a time period. In the last day, here's what's going to happen. That is, people being, you know, raising from the dead, getting their new bodies, all these different things. There are some things that are very specific in Scripture, where individual things can be nailed down to a day, so to speak. But if you go back and look at those, you'll see, again, and looking at the fact that the second coming is not the last day, because there's 1,000 after that, as we said, it's a time period. So what the Lord is saying is, in the time period when the Lord is resurrecting people, Lazarus will be with me. In the time period when the Lord is resurrecting, all these other people will be with me, etc. So don't be confused with last day being a 24-hour period. Look at it in context. Look at it in the entire body of Scripture and realize he's talking about a time period.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And if you've got a question for Pastor Mark, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and then follow the link to submit your question, and we will answer it the next time we have a broadcast. All right, as we visit our favorite two chapters in the book of Ezekiel, 38 and 39, although really there's other favorite chapters in Ezekiel. I shouldn't say that those are our favorites, but it's the ones we talk about the most.
Yes.
This article comes from Newsmax, dated October 11th. Putin cements ties with Iranian president in Central Asia meeting. Now, we know, Pastor Mark, years ago, Russia made a war pact or a military deal or something with Iran. So exactly what's happening here that makes it even more ironclad or maybe more expansive?
Well, what they did, again, a few years back was they made a military agreement with Iran. This is an economic agreement with Iran. So what you're seeing is you're seeing a solidifying of the relationship with Russia and Iran on a much deeper and more intimate level, which again plays right into what it says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 about those two coming together in battle against the nation of Israel. So kind of thing you would expect to see, but again, we want to make sure our listeners are aware of it. Again, Russia's Vladimir Putin held talks with the Iranian president on Friday in Turkmenistan, where the two leaders held their country's growing economic ties and, get this, have it highlighted, and similar views on world affairs.
That's code for how we feel about Israel.
Yeah, but think about it. In other words, we're aligning with the way they think and what they want to do, which, again, that's going to bring them together in their battle against Israel. And
Psalm
remember,
chapter 2.
And Russia's is not going to be so much a hatred of Israel as it is the reward they get by going in, the natural gas, the oil.
Yes.
And who knows, maybe some anger if some Russian soldiers get blown up as they have to deal with things in Syria.
Or they think they're going to get.
There you go. They're at odds with Washington and the European Union over this economic union and over Russia's war in Ukraine, something he casts as part of a wider existential struggle against an arrogant and self-interested West, Putin says. He's keen to deepen ties with what he calls the global East and the global South. Notice the word global.
Yes.
Putin, whose country is hosting a summit on BRICS, that is an economic union of several nations together that are trying to come up with a different world currency rather than the dollar.
Yes.
They meet in Kazan October 22nd through the 24th, invited Pashukyan, who's the new Iranian president, to come to Russia on an official visit, a proposal the Iranian leader accepted, according to Russia's state RIA news agency. And I quote, economically and culturally, our communications are being strengthened day by day and becoming more robust. He was cited as telling Putin by Iran's official IRNA news agency. The growing trend of cooperation between Russia and Iran, considering the will of the top leaders of both countries, must be accelerated to strengthen these ties. And again, the ties are going to continue to be strengthened until they're going to come together in battle against the nation of Israel. So exactly what you would expect to see.
Yeah. Well, further to that, and this kind of is a nice dovetail article. This is from All Israel News, dated October 13th. Axis of Ezekiel 38, Turkish President Erdogan calls for Russia, Iran, and Turkey and Syria alliance against Israel.
Yeah, again, a perfect dovetail, but there's nothing peaceful about this dove. It says, and I quote, it is essential that Russia, Iran, and Syria, according to Erdogan, take more effective measures against this situation, which poses the greatest threat to Syria's territorial integrity. When asked about the recent alleged Israeli airstrike in the nation's capital, Damascus. Now, in other words, they're unifying again on Israel, on the wars going on Damascus and what's happening in Syria. He's trying to link everybody together because he knows that, again, Syria obviously is concerned about anything happening in their country. He's already made up his mind he doesn't like Israel. Russia's already allying with them. So all these guys, these are all the same players that we're going to see coming against Israel in this battle. And again, Damascus is interesting, Greg, that he mentions that because of Isaiah 17:1 that tells us that he will destroy Damascus, or that Damascus rather will be destroyed at some point and turned into rubble, that even during the 1,000-year reign will not be rebuilt. It'll remain rubble during the 1,000-year reign. So again, you can see that he doesn't know all that, but you can see the focal point now, what's happening in the spirit realm, bringing them together in line with exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And who knows, We know that somehow I believe Damascus is going to be linked to all this. It could be that Damascus is the catalyst. Boom, Damascus goes up and some kind of nuclear device or something happens. Maybe Russian soldiers get killed. They decide, hey, this is enough. We're going to battle. We don't know. Or maybe as they're coming in, it gets destroyed. As they come in and God takes action, we don't know. But just seeing the whole thing here of Turkey, Russia, Iran, and again, Syria being linked in there with Damascus. Very, very interesting, very enlightening, and very in tune with the Bible on everything the Bible says about that region and this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war.
Okay. All right, let's take a look at some growing anti-Semitism. You know, everyone's worried about AI.
Yeah.
And all of that, and fake news coming from artificial intelligence. Well, how about fake news coming from our real news organizations?
Well, yeah, fake and blocked.
Yes.
I would say both.
This is from Fox News. So this article is dated October 10th. According to a report, CBS News staff have been told not to refer to Jerusalem as being in Israel.
Unbelievable.
So where is it in then, if it's not in Israel?
Well, they would say Palestine.
Okay.
This is absolutely a denial of God's word, and reminds me of, Greg, another article we probably should have to mention now because it's too important. I forgot about it for today. I read all these, and I should write them down. But with France coming out and saying, you know what, the UN gave you, you were created in one day by the UN, you need to remember that, kind of saying, we can take you out.
Oh, yeah.
But God says, will nation be born in a day? God is the one who recreated the nation of Israel in 1948 on May 14th. It had nothing to do with France or Macron. It had nothing to do with it whatsoever. As a matter of fact, what a ridiculous insult to God. It shows his foolishness and lack of foresight. But you can see how they're trying to play God and say, Israel may not even exist. We may take Israel out. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Macron. Israel will always exist. It will never be taken out. God has proclaimed it. You can't defeat them. God's going to keep his promises. And we're watching it take place. CBS News, whether you want to call it Israel's capital or not, Jerusalem is Israel's eternal capital. You can't change it. God chose it. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Let me just read some of this. The Free Press, not so free. The unfree press.
Wait
a minute. Maybe the free press.
Call it what it is.
But the free press is reporting on the unfree press. So CBS is unfree. The free press reporting Wednesday that Mark Memmott, CBS News, senior director of the unfree press, I added that part, of standards and practices, has emailed all employees in late August telling them, and I quote, to be careful with some terms when we talk or write about the news. In other words, let's not really put the real news out there. Let's change it to fit what we want it to be regarding the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas. Included on his list of controversial terms was Jerusalem. What is controversial? Nothing. It's the throne of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all the universe. He will place his throne there very soon. He will rule and reign. And so Satan hates it, and they don't want to acknowledge that it belongs to God or the nation of Israel, as God promised. I quote, do not refer to it as being in Israel, Mehmet wrote, according to the Free Press, commenting on the unfree press. Yes, the U.S. ambassador is there, and Trump administration recognized him as being recognized it as being Israel's capital, but its status is disputed, he said. How ridiculous to say that this is the excuse. You can't mention it because the status is disputed. If that were the standard, you couldn't call Taiwan Taiwan, because that's disputed. You couldn't call Ukraine Ukraine because that's disputed. Russia's trying to take it back. The list goes on, at least from the areas that were taken from Russia. And the status of Jerusalem, he goes on, to the heart of Israel's Palestinian conflict, or Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Israel regards Jerusalem as its eternal and undivided capital. Well, God does. I'll add that. While the Palestinians claim East Jerusalem, occupied by Israel in 67, Middle Eastern War, is their capital of their future state. Now, again, there may be some dividing up. Joel 3 talks about dividing up of the land. But that's man doing it. God is not dividing anything. God is solid. It is one place. It is the city of the great King and God, Jesus Christ. It is the place of his throne, and he's given it to the Jews until that time. And I quote, standards desks are now instructing journalists to deny reality. Free Press contributing editor Adam Rubenstein spoke. Again, so he's saying, yes, they're denying reality. He goes on, Jerusalem is not only in Israel, it is the capital of Israel. What on earth is happening at CBS? Fox News contributor Guy Benson asked. And then I quote, then we can stop referring to CBS employees as journalists. Washington Examiner senior writer David Harsanyi.
I think many already do.
Again, it just shows truly, Greg, you know, okay, we shouldn't be surprised in a denial of reality, because now we're saying men can be women, women can be men. That is the most obvious denial of reality you have. So to go to now to Jerusalem and say, well, that's not their capital, to me, that's easier to do than what they're doing with the gender thing. So nothing surprises me anymore. It's just, it's a delusional game they're playing. And the weirdest thing is a lot of people believe it. You know, the Bible says that those that are unsaved, they have blinders on their eyes. They're blind. They can't see. But for those of us who can see, it is so obvious and so ridiculous. It just blows your mind.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Really only one story this week for us, Pastor Mark. This comes from MSN.com, dated October 10th. LA's quake mystery. 2024 brings the most seismic activity in decades. The question is, why now?
Yeah, we don't talk much about LA's Quakers, do we?
No, we don't.
You don't think about LA having Quakers?
Quakers, no.
Yeah, you know, really just anybody going to church there is a blessing, but different kind of quake, very obviously, but why now? And again, we know why. Signs of the times. The Bible says in the last days, Jesus said, you will see earthquakes increasing. And again, you also can't help but wonder whether or not there's a little bit of, you know, a whole lot of shaking going on because of, not Elvis, but because of all the stuff they're doing out there that is against God. It's not your imagination, the article says. The ground beneath Southern California has been particularly unsteady as of late. I think it's all the U-Haul trailers leaving the state and heading to Tennessee at one time. It's shaking the entire state of California.
Yes. Okay. There's some truth to that.
I added that part. But let's get back to what the article
really
says.
But that is true.
Yeah, but if these journalists in the unfree press can say what they want, then I can say what I want.
Yes, you
anyway,
can.
But he says the ground beneath Southern California has been particularly unsteady as of late, with the region experiencing more moderate-sized earthquakes this year than it has. Note, here's the key. Well, this is important. In decades. I mean, they've always had shakers and quakers and you know, the ground shaking there. That's what they're known for. But it's the increase. And remember, Jesus said you'll see this increase in the last days. What precisely is fueling the sequence of shakers is not entirely clear. And officials warn that prior seismic activity does not necessarily mean more powerful tremblers are imminent. But the series of modest shakers have many wondering what's going on. By the count of seismologist Lucy Jones, a Caltech research associate, Southern California has felt 15 independent seismic consequences this year alone, with at least one magnitude 4 or higher earthquake. That's the highest annual total in the last 65 years, surpassing the 13 seen in 1988. So there is an uptick. There's an increase here. Again, at this point, nothing to panic over, but again, the Bible does say we're going to be seeing more of this worldwide. Because the earth is groaning. Again, I get back to the whole climate change issue. The Bible says that Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning in the last days for the return of the Lord. And so you're going to see more and more of this kind of activity.
I think it's very interesting, the phrasing that she used, seismic consequences.
And that is interesting.
I think that's a very interesting
It is.
Phrase it.
Yeah, it is. And one more comment about this before we move on, because it's interesting to me, all this stuff, the Bible said in the last days, you're going to see our environment radically changing. You're going to see floods, earthquakes, all kinds
of
things.
God's word says that.
Yes, and Romans 8:22, again, the groaning of the earth. But those who don't know the Bible and or those who want to use it for political purposes and reasons are trying to use it for climate change arguments and all these kind of things. There may be some climate change going on in certain things, or the climate of the world certainly is changing, but it's not because of man's cars that he drives or the steak that he eats or anything we're doing. It is not that we shouldn't be good stewards, but it's not because of that. It's because of Romans 8:22. And what I found interesting was, in these recent hurricanes, President Biden came out and said, how ridiculous, people are accusing, you know, those people that are saying that maybe they're manipulating the weather and that whole other issue out there. But they're saying, people are saying that we can control the climate. He said, that's a joke. We have nothing. There's no way we can control the weather or the climate. That's impossible. I'm thinking, okay, if you can't control the weather or the climate, then what's all this money going into climate change all about? Why are we spending zillions of dollars on something you just said before the world we have no influence on? I've been saying it for years. God is the one controlling this aquarium, not us. And now he comes out and admits it, but nobody said a word about it or challenged him.
Sinister schemes, Pastor Mark.
Yes, it is.
Sinister schemes.
You're exactly right.
Okay, let's visit the church. Now, Pastor Mark, if you remember the TV show years ago, Family Matters, yes. The character Steve Urkel. Yes. What was Steve Urkel famous for saying?
Now, here's the thing. I know about Steve Urkel.
But
you caught
know...
me off guard, but I never saw the show, and I don't know what he was famous for saying.
Okay.
I've heard the name, and I remember seeing him, but I really know nothing about him.
Oh, okay.
I'm admitting it. I'm culturally ignorant on the Urkel thing, me in.
No, that's okay, because I thought you would, because you do such a good job with imitations.
Well, let me know. I'll try to learn
it. Okay, well, Steve Urkel's famous saying was, "Did I do that?"
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
See, I didn't know.
So anyway, so keep that in mind. Anyway,
I need to look that up for climate change issues.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So this is from Breitbart.com. Pope Francis to make gay rights advocate a cardinal.
Wow. You know, Greg, I don't know where even to begin other than cardinal sin.
Oh, that's very good.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things we said before I even read this article was a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, the Pope came out and said something about other ways to God besides Jesus. He's also made comments about the fact that, you know, basically you can live a sinful life in homosexuality and God's going to accept that. You know, and I want to say before we go into this article, God loves the gay community, the homosexual community, but God demands they repent or they can't go to heaven. Every sin must be repented of. There is not going to be an exception. Okay, we know that you feel this way. No, it's here's my standard. You've got to repent. And you, if you will, I'll forgive you and receive you in the kingdom. But if you don't, I won't and I can't. And so this is one of these things where, again, you're seeing not just other roads to heaven other than Jesus, as he talked about. Now they're taking God's foundation of the man and the woman in the garden. And it says, God, Jesus said, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. So there was no confusion. The Lord even said, look, from the beginning, it was not so. You know, God brought a man and a woman together. And now you're seeing all these confusion of the lines again in this whole, and what the Pope was doing. We've talked about it before. It would appear in Scripture that the Catholic Church is going to be used to bring in the false prophet. We can't 100% prove that, but that's what it appears from Revelation. And you're going to see, Greg, this kind of compromise, this kind of watering down. It's going to stay very religious, but you're going to see this kind of thing happen leading into the Antichrist and the false prophet. So this doesn't surprise me, but it's very grieving.
Yeah.
Says Pope Francis has announced his intention to make 21 new cardinals on December 8th, among whom is the pro-LGBT Dominican Friar Timothy Radcliffe. Preaching to the synod participants, the former head of the Dominican Order described what he sees as the dismal state of the world due to climate change and immigration. And I quote, "If we truly are on the way of the kingdom to the kingdom, does it really matter whether you align yourselves with so-called traditionalists or progressives?" He asked. "No, just let's all get along.
Yeah.
Don't fight. None of this matters."
How very New Age.
One world, one religion,
yep.
One everything. Brother Radcliffe has been a vocal supporter of progressive causes for decades, often lending his voice to the lobby to rehabilitate gay sex, insisting there's always time for a future evolution on Catholic moral teaching, which has made him a darling of the LGBT lobby. So look what he's saying. He's saying, look, we want to try to get, you know, yeah, there may be those trying to rehabilitate, or we would say bring people to repentance and get them on the right path that are involved in that lifestyle. But he's saying, but you know, I mean, things evolve. And the Catholic Church has time to maybe change our viewpoint on whether or not it's right or wrong for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. And herein lies the problem of man's teaching and man's doctrine. Man's teaching and man's doctrine can change. We've seen the Mormon doctrine change over the years. We've seen Jehovah's Witness change their doctrine over the years. We've seen the Catholic change their doctrine over the years because they say if the Pope sits in what they call the chair, that he's officially speaking for God. And so if there's something he wants to change, he can just get up and say it or add. He can say it and they say that it's true. But the Bible says, God said this, if you add or take anything away, I will curse you.
Yeah.
That's what God said. You'll be judged if you add anything or take anything away from my word. So we don't have that right. So man's teachings, man's religions, man's doctrines can all be massaged into what you want them to be culturally. God's word never changes. It is eternal. It lasts forever. It will never change. It is what it is, and it's just set in stone. The Bible says it is written, it's done, there's no conversation. So when they talk about this, yeah, you may get man's religion changing what they say and evolve. God's word never evolves. The question, and it goes on, the question always put is, I'm quoting him, is the church's teaching going to change? That's not the issue, Ratcliffe said last year in relation to the church's moral stance against gay sex. The issue is, we will love and welcome our fellow human beings. Now, notice what they do here. Mm-hmm. Notice what he did. They're saying, look, they're trying to make the issue love. Let's just love and don't make any calls here. Don't make any judgment calls about right or wrong. Just love. That is not the Bible. That is not the Lord. That is not God. Jesus loves everyone, but he very much makes calls and says, here's right, here's wrong. Jesus said this when the Tower of Siloam fell and killed those people there in Jerusalem, down there in the city of David. We don't know exactly the details of that, but someone mentioned it and said to the Lord, you know, the tower fell, they killed them, and their blood was sprinkled and all these kind of things, talking about what Pilate did to others. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you also will likewise perish. So we don't know about that issue he's talking about, but he's making a point. Everyone that doesn't repent is going to perish. Now, does that mean that he doesn't love them? Well, of course he loves them. He died for them on the cross. He died for all of mankind. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed will not perish but have eternal life. But it also goes on to say that the son that he gave willingly died so that everyone could be saved. So to say that God doesn't love everyone, they try to use that to say, well, if you bring something else in besides what our definition of love is, then you're somehow evil and you're wrong. Here's God's definition of love. God's definition of love is everyone that repents will not be judged and will get into heaven.
Yeah.
Now, there's a greater definition, I know. Don't start sending me notes about that. The point is, God is not saying, in other words, love demands justice. Love demands it. You can't just say, because of love, we're not going to do anything. So they try to bring love in so that if you say, no, wait a minute, God's against that, then now that makes you unloving. All right? He goes on and says, I have no doubt that God does call homosexuals to the priesthood. What? Are they among the most dedicated? He said, and they are among the most dedicated and impressive priests I've met. What he's saying is that God is calling those that are supposed to lead his people to something his word condemns? No, this is false teaching here. In 2006, his 2006 address to the Los Angeles Religious Education Conference, Ratcliffe called the church to stand with gay people. Look, God loves that community, every community, the gay community, the straight community. God loves the adulterer. God loves the thief. God loves the radical Muslim. God loves the terrorist. But if the terrorist does not repent, that terrorist will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is not unloving. That is from the word of God, the most loving being in all the universe. So don't be, sucked into this whole argument that somehow, if you don't accept everyone's sin, that somehow you're unloving. Jesus accepted no one's sin. He accepted everyone that came to him and repented. But Jesus never once, you won't find one time in the Bible that Jesus ever approved of or accepted anything that the Bible said was sinful.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers or cardinals or popes, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables.
That's right. Again, these things, don't listen to these men. This is not the word of God. Believer, listen to me. Listen to the word of God. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the Bible. And even if you're an unbeliever right now and you're saying, well, how do I know who's right? Listen to the word of God. And God's word has been established as his word and inerrant for thousands of years. You can stand firmly on it. It's called the Bible.
All right, let's squeeze in a good news story we've got left.
Yes.
This is from Christianity Today. In Appalachia, Helene's water crisis taps a global Christian response.
Yes, so many people are going in. We're sending teams in. Many teams are going in. Samaritan's Purse, of course, leading the world like they always do. They're so wonderful. But this is another group, International Christian Engineering. It's a nonprofit water mission. They usually respond to water crisis overseas, but like in East Africa, areas like that. But when the South Carolina thing happened, when the South Carolina-based organization saw the extensive damage done to North Carolina's water infrastructure, after the historic storm Helene, it decided to activate a rare disaster response in the U.S. And I quote, we're able to take our systems and plug them in here, said the director of disaster response at Water Mission, speaking from Boone, North Carolina. North Carolina is in our backyard, so let's use our expertise in providing safe water. Again, with permission from the state government, the organization drove up to Western North Carolina and put into operation four of its proprietary mobile water treatment systems that can produce more than 15,000 liters of clean water a day. So this is amazing, Greg. People are going in with, they still need generators, they still need gas, they still need clothes, they still need help. Don't stop sending that help. Again, Samaritan's Purse and all the Calvary Chapel and all those other churches that are going in. But what a great thing here, they need water. And isn't this great to see these guys going in here and doing ministry here? Again, the church shines never more than it does when there's a disaster, and you see the love of God coming through God's people. So, again, continue to pray for the people in the storm's path. And God bless you guys. You know, just again, we'll see you next week. But continue to pray and to lift them up. They need our prayers. Don't forget them in your prayer time. Is my point.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Folks, thewaymedia.net is the place that you can get all things Signs of the Times related, plus other things to encourage you throughout the week. And encourage you, we hope we do, until we meet again next Friday for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.